Hey everybody, welcome back to Easy Tarot Lessons. This is the official podcast of Dusty White and the easiest way to learn the tarot ever, which is the book on tarot, as you can probably imagine. Today we have a very special guest, and I want to teach you guys how to manifest anything you want. Becky is one of my more favorite students. Hi, Becky.
Hi, Dusty.
Hey, thank you for taking the time to be here. And Becky just manifested a new car, and I want you guys to hear her story. This is real. This just happened. This wasn't years and years ago, back in the old days. This is absolute proof that you can do it. Now, your results will be your own, blah, 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 but that's because you got to actually go out and do the work. Nobody can do it for you. That being said, Becky, what did you do, and how long did it take?
Basically, from start to end, I've probably manifested a car in about 18 hours, which is impressive even by my standards. Basically, needed to go out and get a new car because I'm carless at the moment, and I put into place the techniques that you've taught. So ended up getting my car yesterday. Night before, used visualization. So when I was meditating, didn't just think of the car I wanted as an abstract want. I actually sort of saw myself in it, felt myself driving it, saw my kids in the back, saw our camping equipment in the boot, knew the exact car I wanted. Repeated the process when I got up yesterday morning. I'm a big one for talking out loud. So when I was in the shower in the morning, when I was making breakfast, I was having an out loud chat with the powers that be, sort of putting out there that I needed and wanted this car. Then I went on a car hunt yesterday. So my entire day was car focused. I had tunnel vision where cars were concerned. And I found out afterwards, without realizing I'd done it, I'm a big fan of the power of the written word, and I'd ended up doodling all over a piece of paper the make and model of the car that I wanted.
We were talking earlier about words of power.
Ooh.
And how you said that you had use those words to cement that focus and get that message out to the universe.
Yeah. I mean, the words of the power in the words that I use, I would have thought would be the need and the want.
Now let's talk about that. In your words, because you know what I say, but tell me in your words how you feel this differed from wishful thinking, like what really made it work with your...
Because I felt it. I felt like the car was already mine, so it couldn't possibly not exist because I already owned it and I was already driving around in it. That's how real it felt. So it wasn't an abstract, I want this car. I felt like it was already mine, so I was owed because it was my car. So yeah. Where is it?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I like that. That reminds me of the story of Napoleon Hill that Napoleon Hill tells. I think I told you about that book, and haven't you picked that up?
Yes, but you see, I've just started reading that, and there's a wonderful story in one of the first chapters, and a little girl comes into the mill, and bearing in mind it's sort of late 1930s, so it was sort of still, I get the feeling around sort of slave times, and a little girl comes in and she says, you know, my mama says I've got to ask for 50 cents, and she's told in no uncertain terms to go off, and she repeats it, and again she's told in no uncertain terms to go off, and this is a little girl of 5 or 6 taking on 2 men of authority, and she won't budge, and she won't budge, and she won't budge, and in the end she just screams in his face, I want my 50 cents. And by rights, again, because of the historical time frame, she should have been beaten. And the guy just sits down and gives her the 50 cents and she goes off. So it was very much like that. I wasn't saying to the universe, please, can I have a car? Okay, all right, I'll go. It was like, no, I want this car. I need this car and I need it now. So I was in her I was in her mindset.
No, absolutely, absolutely. Faith demands, and I keep shouting that at you, at my poor students, who I'd apologize to, but it works. I'm constantly drubbing into my young kids' minds. Pace is not begging. Pace is not asking. Pace is getting up and, for lack of better words, into God's face and saying, or Pace isn't saying, I need this, I want this, you will give it to me. Almost like, you know, if I'm here acknowledging that there's a greater power than me, then that greater power is going to come out and help me because this needs to happen.
Yeah.
Also, going back to Napoleon Hill, I remember that story. He compiled the information over the early 1900s, and that was a story that an old guy retold him.
Yeah.
About his uncle. So yeah, you're right. I think it was the actual story itself, I think, was from the late 1800s, which makes it even worse, you know, the treatment of people in the United States. No, absolutely. Now, let me ask you this, Becky. For the sake of our wonderful listeners who would like to manifest themselves something in 18 hours or less, you just did this. Fresh perspective on it. What do you think worked the most? Or what do you think, even if you've already mentioned it, what do you think really was the difference that kicked it over for you?
I think the difference that kicked it over is because it was something that I was feeling rather than thinking. So I felt like the car was already mine rather than thinking it would be nice to have it. Because I felt like it was already mine, the absolute expectation was there that I was going to get it. There was no if, but, or maybe.
Right. And I talk about turning a want into a need. And you can't just sit around idly wishing. But the power of emotion is, I like to look at emotions as like a glue. On a psychological level, yes, but also on a manifestation level. And this goes back to the concept that we're going to learn in Aphrodite's Book of Secrets called Microcosmic Response, which is kind of known to the public as above, so below. But it gives a vertically linear expression when it's more spatial and let's say three and four dimensional. That's going to take some explanation. I'm trying to say it in two different ways. It happens all the time. So, unfortunately, my students have to deal with that. Yeah, but nonetheless, the whole concept of microcosmic response is exactly that we can, much like, I'll put it in simple layman's terms, we build a little scale model, like they do of in an architectural office. They might draw blueprints and plans and build a scale model of a giant shopping center so that the investors can get a real visual of what it is. And then the investors provide the resources to make it happen. And that's really what we're doing with the guts. And when you added that emotion and all of that clear visualization, and I go back to what you said about you didn't just take a picture. A lot of people spend months and months with a vision board, you know, which is nothing more usually than cutouts of magazines, you know, and that's other people's crap. You're somebody else's car. You actually put yourself into the picture.
Then it made it my car. It was personal. It was my car. I was in it. The kids were in it. All our stuff was in the boot. It was my car. So it wasn't just a picture of the car, which could be yours, mine, the next door neighbor, you know?
Oh, no, absolutely. Just because my next door neighbor happens to be Bill Gates and we're friends does not mean that his money is my money or that he's going to even loan me $1,000 to go out and have some lunch.
Yeah.
That same thing works ethereally and esoterically. Just because I have a picture of somebody else's crap doesn't mean I'm going to, you know, it's suddenly going to be mine. So now let me ask you this, Becky. Congratulations, but if you had to do it all over again, or if you had to sit your kids down and say, okay, mommy did this, now it's your turn, but don't make these mistakes. you know, when they're old enough, of course, to start manifesting on their own. Are there any things that you, since it is so fresh in your mind, is there anything that you can think of that you think maybe you would have done better or wish you hadn't done?
I think when you're talking about faith, although I'd visualized and I felt like the car was mine and I got up and I just knew I was going to get this car, I wobbled a little bit because it was almost, I think I thought, right, I'm going to get up at 9 o'clock. The first phone call I make, the car's going to be there. And of course, I had a couple of other cars come up, different opportunities placed themselves in my path. And it was kind of, no, not quite, maybe. And I had that little bit of a wobble. And I think next, well, I know there's no think about it. Next time I will go in it into it with a lot more certainty and knowing that I'm going to get it. So it's squashing that voice of doubt. It's that little imp that sits on my shoulder and says, well, maybe this isn't going to work and maybe it won't. And that I would squash because I think it would have happened even faster if that's possible. And I, yeah, beyond that, I don't know, because it just worked so well yesterday.
No, excellent. And they say that fortune favors the bold. Mm. So you had that going for you. I mean, you did that right. Absolutely. There was another part when you were talking, it made me think, oh, you said, and this is interesting, you'll read this in Napoleon Hill, or you'll read a variation of it, but I've seen this in my own manifestations over and over. Napoleon Hill will tell you that failure always dogpiles on you right before success breaks through. But what I wanted to do is say that a lot of times, you know, if you're hoping for your Prince Charming, you're going to have a whole bunch of jerks like try to jump in the way and go, oh, wait, she's in heat. You know, hey, I have a chance for her. In the same way, you were manifesting. You knew exactly. And I want to go back and clarify that what you told me yesterday was that you got the exact model that you want of car at the right price.
Exact.
Tell me a bit more about that. It's not just like you said, oh, I want a car and it showed up. I mean,
I could scan the piece of paper that's got the make and model written all over it to show people because I'd been doodling.
Right.
And, I mean, the exact model and make of car I wanted. We're not talking a similar shape car, and we're not talking kind of another kind of car, different brand, everything. It is the exact car I wanted. Exactly. And it was smack bang on price. It was £5, so about $10 cheaper than my budget was, but as perfect as the price that I was going to spend as it could have been.
Excellent. Well, still leaves you room for Starbucks.
Yeah.
Which is about $10.
Mm-hmm.
Out the door, at least. So, yeah, that was the thing I probably should have mentioned earlier, and I apologize for taking us 13 minutes without telling you guys that Becky didn't just wake up and say, oh, I'm going to go buy a car. She specifically needed a car and went out and said, I want this exact car at this exact price, and got it. And before that car happened, I think you said that other cars or other offers were presented to you.
Yes.
And
yeah.
This happens a lot in manifestation. It's the whole, it's going to be hard to describe over a podcast, but one of my favorite teachings, if you happen to have a copy of How to Get Any Man to Do Anything You Want, a book that I wrote a long time ago for women. And you can get a Kindle version for $5, or you can buy the print version for like $12, $15, and, depending on the current price. At least $1 of the proceeds, if not two, depending on the version you get, goes towards the fight against breast cancer. You can check that out at realmenwearpink.org. But the point is not to sell the book, but if you have a copy of that, inside there is a picture of the whole pyramid on the dollar bill, or the United States dollar bill pyramid on the back with the eye and the triangle, kind of the whole Illuminati thing that they say. But the point is that I love that image, because and Becky, I'm pretty sure you can understand an unfinished pyramid with the eyeball floating up in the sky. And
I've got the book anyway. I bought the book.
Oh, thank you. Well, that eyeball in the sky represents your ideal manifestation, that goal, that thing that you wanted. And the pyramid represents all of the possibilities, and none of them are exactly right. The lower you are down on the pyramid, the more there is to choose from. Like, I need a car. Well, here's a whole bunch of cars. Some are running, some don't, some are stolen, some are legal. Some you got to drag over from, like, the continent or whatever. The higher up you go in the pyramid, the more exact, the closer to your goal you get, but the less options there are to choose from. You know, the less, because it, much like finding the perfect person, if you just want a date, there's people all over the world, but if you want someone who's just right for you, well, and you start putting demands on it, that means there's less and less possibilities. And so what you did is you used your manifestation abilities to just shoot past all of the bottom rung of the ladder, or all of the you weeded out so many useless possibilities. And each time you were offered a car that wasn't quite right, obviously you kept going, because otherwise you would have ended up with that. And the whole detachment from the glowy part of the eye and the physical reality, the pyramid, shows that you need that kind of divine interaction in addition to your physical mundane labors. Anybody can just go and say, oh, I'm going to get a car and work some kind of a deal. But to go out and just say, that's it, this is what I want, and I'm going to do it today, and because I've got other things to do in life. I mean, you're like a corporate CEO saying, assemble my staff. All of you invisible helpers, go out and find me this car and this model and this and this and this, and it's going to be reliable, and it's going to, and don't offer more than this much money. Go fetch. And then they come back and they say, oh, here's your call. So I was like, thank you. I'm going to go off on vacation. So I'm really, really excited about that. Let's see, what have we not covered? We did talk about, what do you think?
No, I was just going to say, because I know it's from one of your other lessons, one of the things that you'd said was that, I'm not going to phrase this very well, so you'll have to put it more eloquently, it's an active process, it's not a passive process. You don't put out there and say, I want the perfect car, and then do nothing. And my role in this, another reason I think it works so well, is I was in this as much as the powers that be were, because I was making the calls, I was doing the research, I'd put it out there, I'd texted people and said, let me know if anything comes up. So I was very involved, and I was driving it from my side. So it was almost like, right, I've done my side of the bargain, now's your turn to step up and do yours. No, it wasn't absolutely a passive process, it was an active process.
Yes, it's very proactive, and you've got to... I like the phrase, in order to win, you must be present. Because it means you got to actually show up to the race. You got to actually, wake up, drag your butt out of the bed, and at least go stand in line. The gods don't come kick down your door, drag you out of bed, put you in the shower, and then take you down to the raffle and buy you a ticket and say, oh, here's, you got to actually do a little bit on your end.
Yeah.
There's so many people out there that give up so easily, and the whole thing about wishful thinking, it just drives me nuts, because it's not that hard, but you do have to put in effort. When I used to make my herbal candles back years and years ago, and they worked phenomenally well. I had testimonials coming out everywhere, and I used them myself and raised a lot of money that day. That way, not that day. Part of my secret was I used 50% paraffin, which is a petroleum-based wax. Paraffin is just basically wax, but it's man-made. And then I used 50% bayberry or beeswax. So what I did is I actually blended 50% human manufactured industrial revolutionary efforts, and 50%, you know, bees or wax that just grows on the plants naturally. So I was blending, you know, like the fairy magic with human effort. And I think that that's really what effective manifestation is that we got to go out there. We have to know what we want, or again, as I was teaching some of my students in the private class, I will tell you this, if you don't know what you want, at least have something to push off of to give you motivation. I won't go too much more into that in this public broadcast, but you get the idea. But let's say you got to know what you want, and you have to clarify, demand, be specific, take some action. Expectation is a wonderful thing. Faith demands, it doesn't beg, it doesn't mealy mouth. Politeness always counts, of course. We throw emotion in there. We use our words of power. And you mentioned something earlier, but it was before we started recording, and I wanted to ask you about that. One of the things you did that really made me excited was you justified. You didn't just say, "I just want a car." You gave a reason. Can you expand on that just a little bit, please?
Yeah, that's when I was sort of having my chat out loud and sort of putting it out there verbally, and it was very definitely, I wasn't just saying I need this car and I want this car. I needed it because I haven't got a car at the moment, and it's a nightmare with two teenagers and no car, and I needed the particular car, or wanted the particular car that I've now got, because I had a certain set of specifics in my head that I needed. I wanted a certain boot size. I wanted a certain size car. It had to be four doors because, you know, it's easier for everyone getting in and out. So it was very definitely phrasing it that way.
But you justified why you needed a car.
Yeah.
Just say, Daddy, I just want a car because I want it.
Yeah. No, it was, I want this car for this reason, this reason, this reason, and this reason. I already felt like it was mine because I'd done all the visualization, and I was actually in the picture rather than looking at a picture. So I was in the car, I was driving it, I knew how it felt. I'd put it out there verbally. There was a little bit of the girl screaming that she wanted her 50 cents in me, and the fact that I didn't quite stamp my foot, but it was a case of, right, enough now. I want this car. Enough, you know?
No, I agree. Now, just to support what you've done, and I may have told you this story in the past, but if I haven't, because I haven't told this story in a while, and I don't think I've ever told in the podcast, but just one of my manifestation stories. I get dozens of them. But just to support what Becky has done right now, and again, the spotlight is on Becky's manifestation of the exact car she wanted at this moment, at this time, at this price. Didn't have a lot of time to screw around, and because there's other things she needs to do. Plus, she's got two teenagers. It's not like she has time to lollygag. There's a word from the past. Mm-hmm. But just to show that Becky's not the only one who can do it, you know, you guys can do it too. Tell you about the time that my van broke down. I was painting addresses, which is such a glorious profession. So I would drive all over town, put up flyers, and if people responded, and if they filled out the little form and put it out where I could see it, and taped up a check, then I would go paint their address. So I'm driving around looking to see if anybody's ordered my services and my brand. My van just dies. Literally I started losing money at that moment because being self-employed, I couldn't go around and pick up the rest of the checks. I couldn't, go see if anybody else ordered. I certainly couldn't drive around. I panicked and then I stopped panicking. And I didn't know who else. I didn't have any friends or neighbor, friends in the area. I was down in San Diego, and I was brand new to San Diego. I didn't know anybody. So I called my landlord because I didn't know what else to do, and she sent her son down, and he tried to fix the car and looked at it and said, nope. So he took me over to get a rental car, fortunately. So I got a rental car for the day. So nothing there. But that night, the words I said and the vulgarities I used and the demands I made and you know, politeness, but the vulgarities were mostly at the just general pace. But what I did is I threw a little bit of a tantrum. I wasn't as composed as Becky was. And unfortunately, this goes back a few years. But the end result was, within 2 days, I got my van towed and got $400, whatever. It's like, hey, here you go. But it was just, here, take the damn thing, $400, no hassle, no nothing, cash. I didn't have to sign, I think I might have had to sign a piece of paper that said, it's yours now. And then my landlord turns around and says these exact words. She goes, you seem like the kind of person who would pay me back. And I said, okay. Because I had, you know, I've been doing my manifestation for 2 days, and I didn't think at all that, you know, to ever ask my landlord of all people for a loan. This is a person that I pay money to every month to rent my domicile. And sure enough, she drops a couple $1,000s in my pocket and tells her son to go out and help me find a car. And took about 3 days in total. And specifically, what I had been asking for was a convertible white Mustang, because I just, I don't know, they're fairly inexpensive and they're wonderful and they're sexy and it's a convertible. And found the exact model. The price I liked, and to make it even worse, her son turned out to be a brilliant negotiator and knocked $500 off the price, which I used to get. I just dropped that on it, $500 on an expensive tune-up, and years and years and years later, I'm still driving that thing. It still runs like a top. So these were just two instances of cars. I have other students who can tell stories about what they've been doing, but the point is that it does work. I will give you some details in just a moment, but what I wanted to do was turn the spotlight back on Becky and say, this is an example of here and now. Unlike my story, which happened years and years ago, this just happened. This is fresh. This is, I want you guys to draw inspiration from this. I want you to go out and start politely demanding what it is you want. Don't take no for an answer. And I mean, of course, it's all ethically, legally. Don't go stalking your ex-girlfriend and say, well, you said that I can manifest. No. Let's all play nice here. But how this fits into the tarot is that when we use the tarot for manifestation, and I do have an upcoming master course on the tarot, from absolute beginner to absolute mastery. It's going to be 10 weeks, and it's going to be coming up in a couple of weeks. This is probably the first real announcement of it. And we will go heavily into all three flavors of tarot manifestation. And anybody who does take that course, I mean, I might as well just let you guys know. I'll give you more details later. Anybody who does that take that course will get free access to all of my tarot courses over the next 12 months. So if I hold another tarot course or two tarot courses or three tarot courses, you guys will get that free as well. Because my point is, once you're my student, I want you to master this. I don't want to keep charging you and have you come back after a course, after a course, after a course. So you basically pay one, get the rest of the year for free. Whenever I'm teaching, you show up, sit down, and start learning. But the essence is, we're going to be covering manifestation. And let me give you a little freebie here. And I want you guys to do this right now. And before the next podcast comes out, I want you to have something you can show for it. So doing the same thing that Becky did, only with the tarot cards, we choose, I would say two or three cards for simplicity. We can go into details in a private lesson or a course, but just for right now, to make it simple and easy and quick, know what you want, write out a little description, picture it in your head, and only then pick out cards that represent what you want manifested. And use those cards as an absolute focal point. Use them in conjunction with your justification. Tell a little story. Use your two or three cards as the primary point, and then have one or two cards on each side that expand or flesh out the story. One thing, if you are my student, you already caught this. If you're not my student, I want you to go back and listen to this again, because you'll hear that Becky, she didn't just sell the steak, she sold the sizzle. It's a marketing term. She didn't just say, I want a car. She included the, or I want a steak. She included the baked potato, the vegetable, the drink, the tip for the waitress or waiter. She pictured the right size trunk. I think she said boot because she's in the UK. room for her kids, her driving around. All of these things make it much more real. So we use the cards to represent and reinforce this. And the beautiful thing about using the tarot cards is that they already have a spot in our mind that says these are esoteric tools. It's not just, oh, here's a picture, or what magic is that. Our subconscious minds are already trained to see these as tools of divination and or manifestation. So that really helps. Becky, do you have anything you would like to add to this?
Not really. I think the only thing that I hadn't said, and do you mind if I hark back to Napoleon Hill again?
Just because that book at the moment.
Okay. No, it was going back to when I was saying about how a couple of cars came up before I got my car. There's another story in the beginning of that book that's really resonated with me about a guy that went out in the gold rush, and he discovered a line of gold, and he was digging, and it suddenly ran out, and he gave up and left. And the next guy that came after him pushed on just a little bit more, and literally 3 inches on from where he stopped.
3 feet.
3 feet. Okay. 3 feet from where he stopped, discovered this massive gold mine and made his millions. So that story with my car resonated with me, because it was almost kind of all these dodgy cars came up, or not the right one. Now, I could have taken one of them, and because I hadn't gone that little bit further, missed out on the perfect car. But because I just pushed on, the perfect car was there, and I got it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's probably the only thing I would add, is don't fall at the first fence.
Yeah, if you see your manifestation kind of starting to work, take that as a good sign. If what you want seems miles away, and you get offers and you are tempted or coerced to say, well, I will just settle for blah, blah, blah. Here's a big secret of manifestation, and it's going to sound pretty brutal, and it is, but I don't normally teach this. And I want you guys to always please remember this, and I want you to remember it as harshly as possible, because this is the difference between wishful thinking and getting everything you want in life, is that we never, ever, ever get what we want in life. You won't get what you want in life. I won't get what I want in life. Becky won't get what she wants in life. We get what we settle for. Now, the difference between those is the deciding factor of our happiness. If we want something and we settle for something that's much less, that's our own damn fault. I'm not saying we should all be bratty and picky, but we have to realize that we will never get what we want in life. We're only going to get what we settle for. So try to make what you want and what you settle for as close as possible. Did that make sense, Becky?
Totally. Excellent. Totally, totally, totally. Because if I hadn't set my bar as high as I had, I could have ended up with a car yesterday, but it wouldn't have been what I wanted. I'd have settled for something less than what I wanted.
Yeah, and then we wouldn't have this great story of how you exactly got it. You got exactly what you wanted within
the exact model. The exact
frame.
Model and the exact car. I mean, just exactly. It really is exactly. I'll post pictures once I actually pick it up tomorrow.
Yeah, it's almost like you just called up and ordered a pizza.
It is. I'll have this car for this price. Right, fine. Come pick it up tomorrow at 12 o'clock and it's yours. Great, thanks. Bye. Phone down.
Yes.
Yeah.
a couple other things real quick. Now, I don't mean this to be narcissistic, but I want to know how anything I have taught you has helped you in this at all, or if it has.
It totally has. I mean, basically, it was what I've learned from your lessons. It was involving myself in the process. I very definitely took on board the fact that I had a role and I was active in this. I wasn't just passive and sitting back. That fabulous, fabulous book that you've put in my path, Napoleon Hill, it's reinforced everything that you've been teaching up until now, in the fact that the wishful thinking doesn't work, the sitting back. I think we've got to let our inner toddler out, stamp off
yes.
a little bit, because toddlers are very good at getting what they want. They make their needs known in no uncertain terms. The words of power, it's very definitely, I'm very verbal anyway, but, you know, I've been putting it out there with the written word, with my verbal words. So pretty much I've taken all of that on board, and even just from this podcast, I've got some ideas now for how I can apply it to make it even better in the future.
One last thing, you made me think, you beat down or you defeated two extremely powerful enemies that are one of the Probably, I'd say the reason why most people fail. Distraction and or lack of focus.
Yeah. I mean, I think that actually, I'm convinced that that's the reason that it happened so quickly yesterday. Because I know, again, from other lessons, when you said that they're kind of the biggest hurdles are the worst enemies in successful manifestation, I woke up yesterday and I had tunnel vision. My entire day was car focused. I thought about it before I went to bed. I thought about it when I got up. I was putting it out there out loud while I was in the shower making breakfast. The second I'd done that, I literally had my coffee in hand, sat down and was on it with cars. I was sending text messages. I put it out on Facebook. I'm ringing garages. So my entire day, nothing else was in my day yesterday but a car. So by 3 o'clock yesterday afternoon, I had my car.
Excellent. I love it. Thank you very much for everybody for listening. Please listen to this again. Take notes. Listen for the layers of meaning that were just under the surface, because there's a couple there. And get results. Email me, me@dustywhite.net. Ask me questions. If you're looking for Napoleon Hill's book, it's called Think and Grow Rich. Get the original copy, not the faux updated one. The original copy, you can get a paperback for a couple of bucks. It's a white cover with green text on it. And again, it'll say the original classic. If it says updated, don't get it. If you get the hardcover, which is really cheap on Amazon and used bookstores, I'll certainly have copies. Look for a hardcover with a burgundy or red binding. Sometimes it'll have, if not always, gilded edges, the gold dipped or printed edges. It's just a really good book. Go into it more, but not necessarily in a tarot podcast. Now, taking everything I've taught you about the tarot, apply your cards to this, use these techniques with your cards, and we will go more into that in Advanced Tarot Secrets, and I will probably put out more of this information in the podcast for free. Becky, thank you so much for being here, and I appreciate it.
No worries at all.
All right, I'll see you in class.
No worries.